This is Janine Hayes and Brian Mason, and welcome to the Afro Chic Podcast, where we celebrate the history and cultures of the African diaspora.
Each month, we sit down with creatives, innovators, and tastemakers from across the diaspora, discussing Black culture, society, and homes, while exploring new paradigms that help us all design a better world.
Today, we're sitting down with Farez Mikuwe, a conceptual photographer from the Canary Islands whose large-scale images transport the viewer to surreal and fantastical worlds.
We'll discuss the inspiration behind her work and Farez's exclusive collection for Afro Chic that's now available at Wayfair.com.
So yeah, we're super happy to be talking to you today for a lot of different reasons. One, we love your art. You know that we think everything you're doing is amazing. But also, you know, as Afro Chic, we have this diaspora focus. It's always so much fun for us to talk with somebody from a different part of the diaspora. You know, especially as one of the problems, one of the barriers with diaspora is that we don't always know very much about each other, and we often don't know much about, you know, what the different situations are like, what life is like, different perspectives on everything. So this is a great opportunity for us, you know, to learn some things. And we want to start, we'll ask a lot of questions really about the Canary Islands in general, because a lot of us really just don't know a lot about them you know, we've heard about them, we've studied them, but we never really gotten to have the interaction. So I'm looking forward to that. And so, I mean, just kind of to jump straight into the questions, we wanted to ask a little bit more about the Canary Islands and Lanzarote, where you grew up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn to pronounce that. I got to work on my Spanish anyway. And just kind of like, what was it like growing up there? And what are some of the parts of the culture that you feel come through the most in yourself and in your work now?
Okay, so I have to say that in the Canary Islands, there are 7 islands. And I was born in Lanzarote, but I didn't grow up there. So we moved when I was little. We moved to Gran Canaria. That it's a different one from the same group. And I grew up here. So I have lived most of my life here, except for a couple of years, but I have been all the time here. And it's part of Spain. So we speak Spanish here. But my family come from Equatorial Guinea, that it's in Central Africa. So they emigrate to Gran Canaria, to the Canary Island, and I was born here and I was raised here. So I think I have kind of a mixed culture because I didn't really grow, even though I was born here, I didn't really grow up into the Spanish culture, even though I know everything. But you know, when you get inside the house, it's a different culture. So I have kind of a mix of cultures. So I assimilate perfectly the Spanish culture, but my home country culture, it's a little bit different. So I have kind of that double experience with the culture. So in some aspects, I'm more like the African culture, and in other parts, I tend to use more the Spanish culture.
And do you feel like that dichotomy or that duality, do those two cultures sort of fit into your work in some way?
I think, yeah, for the most part, I think, not really the culture, I have to say, but maybe they grew up in an island from a different culture where really does make me think in a different way. That many times I reflect that in my work, like the alone time thinking or reflecting about many things. I think the fact that I wasn't fully in the Spanish culture gave me a lot of time to be by myself and think about what I like and what I enjoy, the things that I prefer. So it makes me think a lot, like being in the middle. So, but I never feel like an outcast in none of the two, but I think I have preference for one than the other as well. Definitely that I use that in my work because it gave me a lot of things to think about, I think so.
And growing up, did you have a lot of opportunities to travel back to your home country, to Guinea, does your family go back often? Do you still have family there? Do you get to make that
actually
trip?
Yes, surprisingly, I have never been there. Surprisingly, I have never traveled, but my mom go back and forth. She have been like a couple of times. First, I was too little to go with her, so she always would leave because it was very expensive back then. So it was not like now that you have a lot of traveling, a lot of planes going and coming. At the time when I was younger and let's say my mom has the power to take me wherever she wanted to go, it was too expensive. So she would go by herself, like very like handful of time, not too much. And then when the situation got better and we were able to go, I didn't feel like going, kind of, because I have like different plans, different things that I wanted to do, different places that I wanted to go. So when the times came, I was like, okay, you know, now I don't really want to go. But my whole family is actually there here in Spain. They are all just my close family. So my parents and my brother. And my son now, because he was born here. But all my family, all my aunties, my aunt, my cousins, that everyone is in Equatorial Guinea. So we have relations. So I know a lot about the country because my mom talked to me about the country and I speak to my family. Because actually in Equatorial Guinea, the main language is actually Spanish. So they speak Spanish. Yeah, it's kind of like South America. We were colonized by the Spanish people. Mm-hmm. So we speak Spanish over there, so we don't have the language barrier either. So we can talk perfectly. So that also helps a lot with the culture because you can talk freely.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have that relationship. My whole family is there, so we talk often. They always want me to go, but I'm still waiting, you know, for that call that will tell me that you want to go now. And then I want to go and fully enjoy the experience of being there.
Yes. Yeah.
And now for the islands themselves, you know, there's seven different islands. Do you feel like, I mean, I guess first, have you been to all of them? And do you feel like, is there one culture that kind of spans the islands, or do they each have like their own sort of unique flavor?
So they kind of have a different, they are a little bit different, the people from the different islands, because we have a couple of them that have a lot of population and other they are like less populated. So they are more like not so outgoing, more introvert because they are not so much people. So I live in one of the biggest one. We receive a lot of tourism. So we have a lot of interaction. It's also the fact that it's the biggest, we do have more like, more people coming in, so we have more exchange with cultures. So the smallest one, since they have less people, they have is less diverse too. So you won't find like too many immigrants or people from other places. So in the place that I live, you can find people from basically everywhere. So it's kind of, so it's it's even hard sometimes to find Spanish people because they are people from so many places. Then you get a little bit of flavor of everywhere. So we are kind of outgoing. So it's very easy to be here because you feel at home like everywhere because there are people from different places.
And we hear it's so beautiful. And it's definitely a place we have to put on our list for traveling. If they come out and meet you out there, we would absolutely love to see the islands.
Looking amazing. Forward to it. That's kind of like that. So I have been I was born in Lanzarote. I haven't been back there, but actually want to. I would like to because I think it's a very nice place to take pictures, but I haven't been there. And then I have been to Tenerife, but was a couple of months ago for the first time. And the other three, I don't know none of them. So it looks like the places that are like familiar, like my home country and the places around me, I don't go there, but I go very far. So it's kind of that I don't feel, maybe because you got the feeling that it's always there. You don't feel that. Yeah, you don't feel like going right now because anyway, it's always there. So I can go in another moment. Go further instead of going closer. I think that is a subject that I need to work on. And maybe try to just look around and explore around me before going that far, like in the other side of the world. But
feel that way. I mean, we live in New York and it's like you feel like the whole world's there here, basically. So you don't feel like you have to go everywhere. And I mean, you know, we have 50 states and we've only been to a handful.
Yeah,
And our geography, as far as like what happens in the middle of the country, is horrible. Like, I don't even know most of the states there. So,
I know. It's just like that.
Because we're originally from Pennsylvania, and we always tell people that, you know, our concept of geography from where we're from is basically there's Philadelphia, New York, then kind of blah, 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 Chicago, blah, 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 California.
Right.
We have no idea what's going on between.
What is going on in the middle for that?
Right.
Yes. Like that. I think it's a subject. It's a subject to work on. Like, okay, let's explore what is going on here.
Yes.
What my neighbor is doing.
This is true. We all need to
check it
out
more. And that's again, that's why we love having these conversations to kind of expand, you know, what we think of as being in the world. And I mean, Canary Islands is such an interesting place because, you know, like you say, it's technically it's a part of Spain, but geographically it's closer to Africa, close to Morocco and all these other things. And much like Equatorial Guinea has this complicated history with Spain of having been conquered, and then early on it was a destination for the transatlantic slave trade and all these other things. So as you talk about the culture and sort of the mix of cultures, you know, I'm curious to know how much do you feel is any of the indigenous culture of the Canary Islands still remain? The European culture that's come in as technically as being part of the EU. And then that African culture that I'm sure is a constant influx from a number of different places.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel like they all sort of mesh together and how well do they interact?
I think they interact well in depending on the aspect. In some aspect, they are kind of similar, but in other, they are quite different. Mm. So it's hard to blend them together. So you, in some parts of the culture, you really need to choose which one do you prefer to apply in your life and which one you prefer to leave aside. Mm. So, for example, for me, in the interaction with people, I find it very different, like in my African side with the European side, because even though Canary Island is a place where you get to do a lot of relationships, I think in Europe, you tend to make like very superficial relationships. So everything is kind of, because now we are in the mood, so we have a good relationship now. And then if later on it's not that good, we part ways. But I think in the African culture, you take more serious your relationships. So those who you decided to get into your life, they become like family and you treat them like that. So I have a little bit of trouble with that aspect of the European culture, because I have that feeling that, okay, if I allow you to get into my life, it's because I have seen that you are worth it. And I wanted to treat you like a family and I want that relationship to be long lasting. I don't want something just for the moment. Even with friends, I treat you like family, but for them it's just, we are friends and they have the kind of friends have a barrier. So it's, we are friends, you are, I have my family and I have my friends. But I think in the African culture, everything merged together. Family and friends, they become like one. So you treat them with that familiarity and you treat them like your sister and your brother. And that's it. There is nothing else to talk about. So I think that's why I don't really have too many Spanish friends. I think that is one of the reasons. Because I'm not good at having like superficial relationships with people. So if I have a friend, I want to be fully present in that friend's life when it comes to when they need me or when they need them. And if I see they are doing something that is wrong, I like to feel the liberty to tell them, okay, this is wrong. You are going the wrong way. That person taking it like, okay, it's like a family member is telling me this. It's not like, oh, you know, it's not your business. You need to mind your own business. So it's kind of what is going on. So I'm like, it's not really my style of friendship or life. So I tend to have more, to be a little bit reserved when it comes to having relationships with the people around. So that is kind of one of the reasons. So one of the culture that is quite different, that they tend to have very superficial relationships. For them, maybe it's normal because they don't have the other part like to compare. But for me, I see it that way because maybe I have another side to compare with. And I can see, like, okay, my friends or my relationship with these friends in this culture is very different to when I see even the friends like interacting. And like, it's kind of strange. It's not like, so I mean, that's okay. I will keep.
Yeah, it's, keep, it, It's so interesting that you say that, because it's like, I never even thought about that. It's like an Africanism was what we call it, like things that are from Africa that are still present in our culture. And like, you know, I think that even Black culture here in America is the same. It's like, if you bring someone in your house, you take someone over to your parents' house, like that's somebody who's, they become like family, you know, like you're not going to just bring anybody over to your parents' house, you know? And so that feeling of connection, you know, an authentic connection being so critical and important. And I never thought about that. That is that, that itself could be an Africanism. That's sort of something that is part of African culture that we still kind of carry with us throughout the diaspora.
I was thinking the same thing, because as you were talking,
that was exactly what it felt. Is that's how I feel about African Americans. That thing, it's right there. Even after the years, after so many struggles, it's still there, because when I started watching like American culture, and you see that you're calling, you see another Black person, you call him sister or brother. Yeah. It's exactly the same. And I was like, that's the thing. If you want to create a relationship, you have to treat that person like your sister, and you have to see it like that. It has to be like that. So it's something very beautiful. I was like, okay, the connection is still there. Doesn't matter the change in geography or the place, the seat is still there. So that motherland is still Africa for all of us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's important, man, because I mean, same thing we were talking about growing up in just in Philadelphia. And we always say in Philadelphia, you don't really have friends, you have family, because, you know, I've got a couple of different people who I think of and refer to as my brothers, and who aren't blood related to me, but we grew up together that way.
Exactly.
My parents' friends are all like my aunts and my uncles and all of these other things. And you just refer to them that way. And that's who they are in your family. And, you know, we have aunties and all that other stuff. And it's all, you know, and it really is like the relationships are always that deep. So that's cool. And I know Janine is like, she's looking at me like, okay, we're done with your cultural studies part of the interview. And I know we want to get into the work, so let's get specific and let's start talking about you, because that is what we are here to discuss.
I definitely want to talk about your creative journey and your process. So let's start with, you know, what was your first creative outlet, and when did you feel yourself drawn to the arts?
I think from a young age, I liked like cinema. I always liked movies and all of that. And I wanted to be an actress when I was younger, because I liked the versatility of changing from one movie to the other and showcase different stories, being the same person, but different people at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that part of cinema and the creation of something that wasn't here before. And suddenly you have something amazing that everybody can see now that wasn't here before. So I have always felt drawn to art in that sense of creating something that wasn't here. But even at that time, I wasn't thinking about creating something by myself. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, if I wanted to be an actress, everything, like all the weight, of the work wasn't on me. Other people were doing things and I was just getting into the things they were doing. So that was the feeling. So I grew up liking art and watching different paintings, this and that, but I didn't have a feel that I say, okay, I can create this for myself. So later on, when I reached, like, I was already quite old when I discovered photography. You know, you make photos when you are young, but without any purpose, just taking the family and having a memory. That was it. So that was my first interaction with photography. But later on, like in 2009, it was the time that I bought my first computer.
Yeah.
It was when I had the chance to be taken online and seeing this and seeing that. And it was when I discovered photography, like photography with intention, like conceptual photography. And I found it like very amusing, like so nice. Like this image has a story behind it that is not just like when you photograph a wedding, it's just to remember the wedding. It's not like creating something new. So until that point, I only knew that kind of photography, the one you take for remember the moment or the circumstances. So that was the only one. And then I was like, oh, it's so nice. But and when I was younger, I used to write. I like writing, and I used to write when I was younger. So that was my first kind of art form, was writing.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I discovered photography is when I thought maybe I can use that writing and trying to create an image from them. So in the same way you use in a script, it's like this writing will be my script. I need to find my clothing and I need to find the place and I need to create my small movie like in a photo. So what's when I decided to merge both hobbies or both passions and trying to create one. So when was the time when I started to create, like trying to create conceptual images. Mm-hmm. So at that time, they were kind of different, but very different from the one that I do now. But that was the beginning when I decided that maybe I can put intention on creating the image and maybe let's see what's coming from here. Because now I have my writing that I can only read it and see, but what if I can make like a visual writing so people can see it in an image and get the feeling of the writing, and both of them together, they will create like a different feeling. So that's how it started with photography.
That is beautiful. I mean, there's so many layers then to the work. Like you said, there's this narrative, you know, that you've kind of created and crafted. And then, you know, thinking about the imagery as you know, almost like cinematography as well. What a level of layers to it. And I think that that is why it feels like your work is very evocative. It also transports you to another place when you're looking at the work and you're experiencing it. You know, the stories that you're creating, I'm just curious about like current works that you have now. Like, are you still, do you actually write a narrative first before you develop that image?
Wow. Most of the time, yeah, I always start with the story because I always keep my phone in my note and I have pen and I have notebooks everywhere because every time some idea popped to my head, I just go and write it down so I don't forget it. And I can create images from then. And actually now I get to see kind of images in my head and then with the writing. So I kind of have a guide of what I want to create in the future. I have some of them that I haven't done yet and other that I have created already, but I always get like both now. I get kind of the image because I get like that feeling and then I do the writing and then I create the image. So it's kind of going together. All my images, basically they have a writing. So I don't really have images without a story because most of the time the writing comes first. And if not, it's gonna come later because I think my brain is wired like that, that is always connecting an image with a writing.
Wow.
That is amazing. And I mean, and you can see it, you can really feel it in the images and that there's a depth that comes through with them that it feels like there are layers to it, as Janine said. It feels like there's a lot of thought that goes in. Like there's a whole moment in the story that's taking place in this. And as a self-taught artist, you know, as coming into this and just sort of feeling your way through it, to reach this level of really refinement and just such a clear and unique perspective that's going on in your work. What was that process like? You know, kind of tell us a little bit about the trial. What were some of the early efforts like where you just kind of looked at it and went, no, this isn't it. And then they kept you moving through all of these different iterations to where you're at now.
Yeah, I think it was kind of progressive. Like I said, I started like in 2009. It's basically 11 years ago. So it's been kind of a slow but fast process, kind of something like that. Because when I started taking photographs with the webcam of my computer. I always say that because I didn't have the camera at that time. And I'm already wanted to start doing something. And I didn't have a camera. I was like, okay, this is the only thing that I have. So I need to try my best. Actually, I still keep some of those photos and they weren't bad. And I was like, if I'm able to do this with my computer, if I try to invest in a camera, I can do better things. But, you know, and then I decided, okay, I was working at that time in a hotel. So I was taking my salary and I was like, you know, I'm going to invest in a kind of a camera and try to learn a little bit. So I bought the camera and actually at that time, I didn't even know about like automatic mode or manual mode. I didn't know anything about camera. So I was shooting it automatic and was just putting it. And that's it, because I already wanted to start, but I didn't know. I was just, you take the camera, you put, you press the button, and the image came up. So that's right. Only. So I started with that. And then I was like, I was seeing the images, and I was thinking, I think they are doing something else that I'm not doing. So I discovered like Photoshop, and I was like, okay, yeah. Okay. So they are adding things that I make. Okay. I need to learn about this too. Mm. So I was really bad back then because I didn't know anything. So they were overexposed here. So the light was not right, because, okay, I was thinking, yeah, Photoshop can fix you something, but you need to something from the beginning, like to begin with, it has to be kind of good. So after like a couple of weeks, because I was working at that time, like I said, so I didn't have like my full time to be dedicated to photography. So I was going to work and I was coming back and I was trying to make pictures. And I was like, it was getting better because I started like introducing like color at that time. Okay, this color looks kind of good. This one looks better. I think this is skin like, this color with my skin tone looks better. And that was, so I started to learn a little bit about my tone, my body, how it looked better. So I started to, at that point, that's the only thing that I knew at the beginning. So when I started, like I said, I was using my writing, but I think my knowledge about myself wasn't that deep at that time. So that's why the theme in my work really changed after I kind of started to know myself better. So in 2011, I actually moved to the UK. And that was the first time that I moved out of my house without my family. I was by myself and everything changed. Like the things that I thought that I knew about myself, they weren't there anymore. So, you know, that security that you have when you're at home. So that really forced me to think deeper, like, okay, let's see. And at that time, when I moved with the idea like, okay, coming from a small island, maybe I can have more chances to become an actress in the big city of London. So that's what that was my idea, like moving. I was thinking that for kind of magical way, I will get there and I will make a casting. Everything was going to go great. And then you go and reality happens, like you need to work. You need money. You need to bring money. So you cannot be waiting for some casting to appear. You need to look for like kind of a job that gives an
hour. Right.
So now I find myself kind of in the same place that it was when I was at home. Like, because, you know, when I was here, I was thinking about, because if in a small place, there are not many people. We don't have any big industry here that I can get in. Arts is not a big thing here. So I was thinking that that was the reason why I didn't find my way at that time. So I thought that maybe changing the location, going to a bigger place will make a big difference. And then I found that, no, it didn't make any big difference because everything was the same again. I was still in a job that didn't fulfill myself. I didn't make me happy. And I didn't have time to dedicate to my passion. And on top of that, I was just by myself. I was lonely. I wasn't happy. So everything was even worse than before. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, something is missing here. So that is something that I miss in the point, because now the change in location didn't change anything.
Right.
In
fact, it make it worse because now I feel lonely, and I wasn't feeling lonely back home.
Yeah.
Maybe not happy with my life, but I wasn't feeling lonely or sad. But now suddenly I feel sad too, on top of everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, maybe the problem or the things that I need to change, it's in the inside and not the outside. So let's kind of rethink what do I want? Okay, what am I looking at? Like in my life, what do I want to do? What kind of things make me happy and make me feel alive? So I started writing down things that make me happy. And that's at that time I got into Korean movies. So I was watching a lot of Korean movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really like this place. I really want to visit there. I think that would make me happy. Because it was kind of a resort at that time. When I was watching the movie, I was feeling good. Plus, I like movies, and I discover a new place, a new language that would make me feel that spark again. Like, that is something that I want to keep learning. So I was talking with my mom, and I was telling her about my new passion about watching the movies. This I knew about American movies, but now I have a new industry. So she told me that, maybe, do you want to go? Maybe we can take a trip there. And I was like, you're serious? You're going to take me there? I said, yeah. We can go and you can see how do you feel when you go there. So that was in 2012. So we went on holidays to South Korea.
Oh, wow.
On September. So, and when I was there, it was like new world. I suddenly, maybe it was the fact that I was with my mom as well after so long. I was with her. I had company. I felt good. I liked the city. I like the place. I was feeling very inspired to write again and to make new plans. And I was like, yeah, this is the way that I want to feel every day. I want to feel like this. I want to feel good. I want to be excited about waking up and doing things in the morning. And we stayed there just for 2 weeks. And then the holidays end. And I needed to go back to London and go back to my work. And then everything started. So that happiness lasted me for a couple of days, and I was like, you know what, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot do it anymore. So I quit my job and I decided to come back to the Canary Island.
Yeah.
But now I knew something else. I knew that I needed to change something on the inside. So another subject to work on was like, I need to listen to my soul. I need to listen to make my soul happy. When do I feel happy? When I do what kind of things? When I see what kind of things? So, okay, I was like, okay, London is not the place that made me happy. Although I like it, it's nice, but it's not my place. Also, the weather is not that good.
Yeah.
And I was coming from the Canary Island where we have sunny days and there was raining. The time it didn't make things better, and I was like, no way,
it can be
raining every day.
Yeah, I was thinking that probably the weather itself, also coming from a beautiful sunny island to foggy island,
it was like,
I don't know how well we would do in like full time in London, just that much rain and fog and all that.
Yeah. It's not for me. And I was like, and I was always complaining about the sun here. Like, it's too sunny every day. And I was like, yeah. I think between raining and sunny, I choose sunny days all the way. So I came back and I started to work on myself. Like, I always was doing like writing about my thoughts, like poems and things. And from that time on, I started to writing about my feelings. I have now two notes, the fictional ones about stories and then another one about myself, about how I feel. So I took as a subject to know myself better, like to the beat. I need to know what makes me happy, in which situation I feel happy. When do I feel sad? What makes me feel sad? What makes me stressed? I need to know everything about me, because sometimes we don't know ourselves deep enough.
Yeah.
We think that we know ourselves, but we don't really know, because we don't really get deep. Like, why do I act like this? Why do I respond like this to this kind of situation? So that's what he needed to do.
Wow. And
so it was a journey, like, to get there.
Yes, and a lot of introspection.
Exactly, and feel empty at that point in order to start feeling myself again. I was like, and then that was another one that I started to feel like I was losing myself in London, because it's not like me anymore. So because I am a happy person, I'm very positive. I like to be happy. I like to make plans, but I found myself in a situation that I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to see anybody. I remember I went for holidays to the UK first with my mom, as well. She always my partner. So we went there for holidays. And I really like it, but I was thinking when I was going in the subway, like, why people is so grumpy? What? They don't look happy. And suddenly, 1 year later, I found myself with the same face in the subway. Yeah. And now I get it. Now I know what they were so stressed. And I was like, I don't want that for myself.
Wow.
I want to be smiley. I don't want to be stressed with the work. And no, I don't want to. So I think it was something that I needed, because that gave me the push to start getting deep in myself, in my soul, in what do I like. So that's why I take pictures a lot about like self-love and self-improvement and empowerment, because that's how I feel now. And I know that a lot of people need to hear that in order to maybe start working on themselves, because I would appreciate a lot that if somebody back then told me, you know, you don't have to live like this. Right. You can do things, you can change. You have the power to change the way you live and change your circumstances and change everything. It's on your hands, you can do it. It's just inside of you. Because you cannot prevent like the things that happen to me from the outside, but I can take control of how I feel towards those things and how I act. And my life really changed after I came back, because I was different. Then I was really different person on the inside. So even here, the things that were annoying to me before, they weren't annoying anymore. Because now I know it can be worse. No, it is good now. It can be worse. So everything was fantastic. Because actually, when I came back, I went to the same hotel that I was working before. Mm. And people were telling me that you feel different now. Because at that time, since I wasn't happy, people perceived me like a kind of antipathic person, like, oh, she's not that nice. But suddenly, like, my aura changed, my energy changed, my vibration changed. And even with people that I wasn't talking back then, they were like, because I perceive you like a different person, but now I know that, now I feel like you are different. They give me a different thing. I was like, yeah, because definitely I am a different person now.
And in your work, you know, when we look at the photography, as you're talking about that entire journey, you know, of self-love and introspection, you are the center, that the figure that we see, you know, in the work. Is that part of, for you, is that part of that continued journey of self-love and introspection?
Yeah, definitely. I'm still walking this path. I still have a couple of things to discover. So I want to take the viewer along with me for them to discover and for me to keep discovering things. Because at the beginning, when I started doing self-portraits, it was basically because of what's simple, was more comfortable because I was by myself. I wanted to practice and I just did it because of that. But later on, it became like I need to be in the image, because I am sharing in some kind of way my journey, and I want them to learn with me, come along and keep growing and keep discovering who I am and what I want to do. So it became like it changed the perspective later on when the journey came. And that was when the change came, because actually my photography started to change around 2017. That was when my journey was starting to take off. And that was the time when the color started coming in. Mm-hmm. And the self-discovery theme and empowerment start coming in, because it was the time that I was starting to feel like completely comfortable with myself.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, when you were coming back to the Canary Islands from England, you know, how that affected sort of almost like art as a career trajectory. Was that the moment that you decided that you were going to commit fully to it? Are you full time as an artist now? Are you still working in different places in the islands? And then what was that like to decide that this thing that I'm doing, it started as a hobby with the webcam on my laptop and things like that. Now, this is what I do. This is how I'm going to move forward, not only in exploring myself, but in how I'm going to exist in the world. Like, because a lot of us, we struggle with the idea of, you know, accepting ourselves as an artist. You know, you have people who from the beginning go, I'm an artist. They go to art school, they do things like that. Or, you know, where they have their own creative trajectory. But for people who don't start there, it can be difficult to kind of make that internal admission.
Definitely.
So what was that like?
It was actually recently that I decided that, okay, I think I can do this full time, because when I came back from the UK, I have two two ideas. First, I want to keep knowing myself. That was one. And the second one was that I wanted to go back to Korea. I wanted to make another trip. So first thing that, okay, I need to work and save some money to be able to go back as I was discovering myself. So photography was not like in the mix. But in the UK, I didn't have that much time to take photographs. But when I came, I started to make more photos. But at the time, it was still like a hobby. Mm-hmm. Even though I was putting a lot of time, a lot of efforts on making nice images, they were sitting on my laptop. So I wasn't really sharing my work. It was just that was show my mom. And my mom was like, okay, you have improved a lot. Now they are so nice. And I was like, really, they are nice. I think so too, that they are really nice. But they were like a self-therapy. It was like a therapy for me. Because when I have some free time, at that time, I didn't have my son yet. So I was going to work and then I was coming back and it was like my time. Like taking my camera and doing my pictures and sitting down, editing everything and seeing the result. That was my therapy, to feel good and to feel sane. So that, so it was like that for a long time. And then on 2014, like I came back from the UK on 2013. And then 2014, I was able to go to Korea again. So we packed trip and we went there for a month. So it was the same, was there good, enjoying, going out, visiting places. And there are a lot of museums and galleries. So I was going and I was enjoying. And I'm the person that gets really inspired from walks. And, you know, it's very different, like the environment from the Canary Island to you, South Korea. Because there you have rivers and you have the big city, you have the countryside, you have a lot of nature. But here we don't really have that much. We are here, we don't have forests, we don't have rivers, we don't have lakes. And those are things that really inspire me. So I get really inspired with nature. I really enjoy being in nature. I think that was one of the main things that there I had the nature. And it was really so good. So I'm not that much about the city, but I'm really about the nature. Like everything green. I like green places. I like water flowing. I really like it. And I get really inspired. And I always want to try and I always want to do things. And at that time, I wasn't taking pictures. And so I was missing all of that. But I was feeling good, like in the inside. My soul was feeling good. And it was even better than the first time because now I was feeling at peace with myself because I was coming from home. I was feeling good and enjoying even better. So then I went back again. And then when I came back after 1 month, I decided, okay, let me take more pictures. But I was still working. Even at that time, I wasn't realizing that I can be an artist. I can create and people would be actually interested in the things that I was creating. So for me, it was just something for myself that made me feel good. And at that time, I got the feeling that the fact that dedicating that time to photography, that really helped me to be the person that I am today. So the therapy is working. The therapy is working for me because I am actually feeling good. So I think I need to keep creating things because I'm feeling better. It's time that I do it. So that was only my thoughts. And then I went back to South Korea again. All the time after a trip, my life kind of gave another turn. It changed a little bit. So I went again in 2015 and I went by myself this time. Was the first time that I was going to Korea just alone. And at that time, I was doing photography a little bit more, but the improvement wasn't that big yet, like to be able to dedicate myself to photography. But I started feeling like maybe I don't feel that embarrassed to share my photography. You know, as an artist, you really need to get to that point where you don't feel embarrassed to share. So you don't feel like you are the best, but at least I don't feel embarrassed to share with somebody else other than my mom. So when I went there, I decided to visit more galleries, like with a little bit of intention, like to check what kind of artists they look for, what kind of art they like to showcase, to check if my level was kind of good. Even though I wasn't thinking about my full-time job, I thought it would be nice to share with more public. my work. But I started like kind of take, because here we don't have galleries. So when I was there, I had the chance to go in person and talk with somebody. Just ask around and know a little bit. So I went there and I used those 2 months like to go around, and then I went 2 months this time. So to around and enjoy and do this and do that and taking that the field how it is. So at that time I was just sharing my work online.
Yeah.
But not really putting like too much. I need to have a schedule and I need to share this. Actually, I wasn't sharing my work with my writing. I was just posting the, and that's it. So it wasn't like the full artist, like a feel now that is shared more, like the behind the scenes of the image. So I was just posting the image and that's it. It wasn't like engagement in the sharing. But just, I think it was just to touch the water, to feel the water, how it is, if I feel comfortable putting it there. How do I feel about it? If I receive criticism, because at that time I didn't receive any kind of feedback from it. That my family, that of course they don't want to hurt you, so you feel safe with them. And I wanted to see how do I react if I receive feedback, even whether good or bad, from different people. So that's why I started to put in my work over there. So I wasn't really putting that much. So I wanted to test myself if I was tough enough to take criticism.
I'm curious, like, what was the reaction like, or what has the great reaction been like since you started on that journey of, I am an artist, I'm putting the work out there. What have the reactions been?
It's been great, actually, because I received none of them. Like, I don't really receive like bad comments. And what made me feel happy is that people give me the feedback that thank you so much for this message. I needed to hear this now. These words that really helped me to look at something different in my life. That feeling that, okay, my journey is actually helping somebody else other than me. I think that's the best part about my work. And that is what I love the most about being an artist right now. It's just the fact that some people find helpful my work, not only beautiful or nice on the world, but also they receive the message. They feel better and they make them think about their own lives and their own experiences and how they can improve their life and how they can feel better with themselves. I think that is the best part, and that was the purpose of sharing my journey.
Support for Afrochic's webcast comes from Clarkson Potter, publisher of our book, Afrochic, Celebrating the Legacy of the Black Family Home. In this powerful, visually stunning book, we explore the Black family home and its role as haven, heirloom, and cornerstone of Black culture and life. Afrochic is available now everywhere books are sold.
And I was really curious about that too, just the question of like what the reaction was like, because we know how we reacted when we first saw it. And, you know, I was thinking like, well, it had to be a great reaction because the work is so beautiful. I mean, I remember writing the piece that we did on you for Afrochic magazine and going like, wow, like I've never seen this. And the photography is so great. And again, the idea of using yourself as the central figure, which you understand so much more now as sort of your own journey of self-discovery. But from a logistics standpoint, you know, what was it like and what is it like now, especially with some of your great environmental shots? Like being the director and the star of your own shoots, because you're having to play both parts at the same time.
Yeah, both parts. Yeah, I do everything. So I think that making comfortable, that allowed me to work whatever I want to work, but whatever I feel inspired to, I just get to it. That is a very good part. But then you need to learn to work with yourself. Like you need to be very self-aware if the work is good enough or it's not. So you need to be very severe with yourself. You need to be hard with yourself because you don't have nobody else to tell you, okay, this is wrong. Like when you have a boss that he will tell you, okay, or she will tell you, okay, this is wrong. You need to change it. You need to change that. So you need to be very strong and be like, when I'm critiquing my work, doing like that part. I need to get out of my ego, get out of myself, and view my work as somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's good enough. So I think that is the worst part, because that is the harder part. I actually like it, but people may find it difficult to be that hard with themselves. Mm-hmm. So to be okay, this is not good enough, because we tend to have like self-indulgent, like, okay, this is nice, this is great, I'm doing good. You need to recognize when it's not that good, not just because you did yourself and you did all the work and you know that you put all your effort, that doesn't mean that it's good enough. So sometimes mm-hmm. I need to be tough with that. So that is part of being an artist and self thought artists, and the fact that you do everything, also need to do everything, even mm-hmm. like the hard words you to tell them yourself. Because sometimes my mom come and I'm like, you know, I don't really like this image because this, I think like this is off. And she's like, but the image looks great. I really like it. And I was like, yeah, because you are seeing from different eyes and not from my same perspective. Mm-hmm. Like from my view, I can see things that you are not going to see. Mm-hmm. And probably other people won't see it either. But that wouldn't sit good with myself. And I'm like, right. No, it's not up to my standard or doesn't show what I really wanted to tell. This image right. is not telling my message like it wanted to be. And I just delete it. And even if I have put hours of work on that image, it doesn't matter. It's not yes. going.
And that makes sense, because ultimately it's not a question of whether or not it's just a nice image or it does. But there's exactly. a message that the image is serving, you know, mm-hmm. that is trying yeah, to pass.
You are on. Right.
And
it has to deliver the image, the message too. The right. image have to be nice, have to be cohesive, have to be harmonious, and have to deliver the message. So if one of the parts is missing, the image is not right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you talk about, you know, how much inspiration you've gotten from South Korea and how many times you've been there and enjoyed it. And I'm yeah. curious to know, like, if you feel any level of influence or any impact that it's had on your work, because as you were talking about it, it made me think of certain images, and I don't remember the names per se, but where the clothes you were wearing actually kind of reminded me of traditional Korean clothing, where yeah. this dress is kind of high waisted and yeah. colored the sort of pastel. And I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, is that
kind of?
I wonder if that's where that's coming from.
Maybe to a subconscious level. It definitely have happened, probably. But actually, I'm planning my trip to Korea in a couple of weeks again. Wow. Okay. So it's going to be the first time that I go to Korea being an artist, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like the first time that I'm actually going to take pictures in the first place that inspired my work. So it's kind of awesome. And I'm really looking forward to it, because I have been to Korea many times, but in none of that time, I was the person that I am now. I wasn't making the images that I was creating. But I remember the last time that I was there, that was 2018. And even at that time, I wasn't making the images the same way that I'm working now, like full-time working. Because actually at that time, I didn't even sold my first print. Mm. The last time there. So I have my first images that they were good enough, like very reflect the person that I am now. But I wasn't like putting the intention to open a shop. Like I didn't get to the thought that I think somebody would like to have this image on the wall. So that connection didn't happen at that time. But when I came back to Korea and I was like, you know what? I think I need to put my work for sale, because now I definitely feel like somebody would like to see this image every day, because it will tell them something. And I think it's the right time to do it. So every time
I can say that as people who have your image on our wall, we love having this image up here. Exactly. It's a beautiful image to have. It's in
thank
the
you so much. So that's the time when I made that connection. Like, yeah, I think I'm ready. I think I can do it.
Yeah, now. I was thinking of that too, what you were saying of having the image. I think like, as you were talking, Fares, and thinking about like how there is a storytelling and a narrative that you're telling through the work. I think for us, you know, when we were seeing your pieces as designers, it was about, okay, how do we tell a narrative with your piece in our own home or in a project that we're doing?
First, I can just kind of take us through the new pieces, you know, how they were made, if there is anything you did differently or new or, you know, this time around, and then just kind of like, what do they mean to you? So let's kind of go through them one at a time so we can have all of them in. We can start with Playing Among the Stars. How about that?
Great. So with that one, like Playing Among the Stars, because that tree, it's a tree that it's there a lot of them in Korea. And from my previous trip, I always saw the leaves that look like stars. So the first time that I went to Korea, I wasn't into photography yet. But I always loved that tree for some reason. When I was sitting down, those trees, I always feel like dreaming or something like that. This is the first time that I go to Korea as a photographer. So that was something that I really wanted to do. So it's a really meaningful image because it was something that have been for years in my head, even before I started doing photography. So I felt that, okay, this is the moment where I can take that tree, that regular tree, to what is in my mind, how I felt when I was under that tree. So that's why it was Play Among the Stars, because I was feeling like they were like stars, like a constellation full of stars. And I always enjoy like sitting down there and feeling like I am under the sky. So I really wanted to do that, like I'm getting into the stars. So now I'm not just sitting down them, but I'm just among them. So that's the story behind that tree and that image.
That is beautiful. And yeah, now I even can see it in a different light as well. I love just the color combination just really stands out to me. I love that, like that beautiful sort of like harvest gold and the pink shade. It just feels the kind of, I always call those like smile inducing colors. Like you can't help but smile when you see colors like that. I love now also just this feeling of this constellation of stars itself. That is really cool.
And I really like the idea of the stars as gold that kind of comes through.
Yeah.
You know, stars are always white light, blue light. Occasionally you see a planet, might be a like feel a little bit more red sometimes, but
exactly.
Know, right. Like these ideas of the stars as golden, you know, and being able to reach out and touch them and really kind of immerse yourself in them, you know. You know, the way that you would like a river or a stream or something like that.
Exactly.
Interesting.
I always have the same feeling as you. I never know which color the star has. So like you say, we can see red. Sometimes we imagine them white, blue, but that golden just stand out. Like, I think they are golden. And if you wrap yourself with them, you will cover yourself like with golden powder or something like that. So I always get that feeling from the star. So it's like a nice feeling.
Yes, I love that. I love that. So dripping with gold. Yeah. I love that.
And so this was one that it sounds like you had this one planned or something you wanted to do. You knew you wanted to do something like this for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, from the first time that I saw those leaves, I was feeling like I would love to do something. But at that time, I didn't have the tools because I wasn't doing photography. So it was just a dream, like an idea. So I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it or not, or how I can do it, because I don't know how to paint. So I wasn't able to paint them. So I was just dreaming. And every trip that I will do, I will go and see those trees. And I was thinking someday I'm going to do something with them. And definitely this last year was the year that I got to do something with it. And it felt like the circle was complete. Like, okay, finally now I can rest.
Like you said, you know, you have an idea, and just to kind of see it, you know, come to fruition, you know, to see it come alive. That is beautiful.
Yeah. And now how about the crown too?
So when I was doing the crown, you know, sometimes to the Afro hair, we call it our crown. So that's what I was thinking about. And I wanted to translate that by doing it with flowers and just translated that a message into my image. So I always do it, but this time I wanted to make it clear that, okay, this is the shape of our hair, that it grows as a crown, and we are proud of it.
Absolutely. And this one with the black background that the figure comes out of, do you do that like in studio? Like how do these, a piece like this, how does it come together?
Yeah, I always do when I do indoors, I do it in my house. So I place just my black background and my camera in front, and I work with natural light with my window in, on the side. And I always, maybe something that I already do automatically because it's the way that it mostly work. And I'm comfortable working with natural light, so they always come out like that. Of course, after that, in Photoshop, I always do some time of retouch to make it more standing out, but it's basically all from the camera.
That is amazing. Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah.
And I noticed like one of the things that stands out to me is your pose in this one, the way that you're slightly tilted forward from around your pelvis and you have your hands over your stomach. Is there any special significance or you know, an idea, a story behind that?
I think I always do that kind of poses when I want to portray that I am like empowered, like empowerment, like I'm feeling confident in myself. I don't need to hide anything. I don't need to prove anything. I'm just here, standing here. So you can see what I am. So it's just a confident pose that I feel confident when I just standing there without hiding anything. And I really, that's basically the pose because I wanted to convey like the pride that I have. So when you wear a crown, you have to be standing up with your head up and feeling proud of yourself. So that is the pose that I was going to, because I knew that I was going to add the flowers and the shape and the way that I wanted to put it. So I just was looking for a pose that goes along with the idea.
I love it. It's your power stance.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And then finally, I just have to ask, is there a The Crown one?
Yeah. That is The Crown one. So I always wanted to do another one. So this is the chance to make the crown two.
The part two. Yeah, it's one of those pieces. Again, it just like it stands out. And I do feel that, like you said, the pride that comes through, you know, in the image itself. So, and I just, of course, like with all your imagery, you just love the connection to nature, you know, that is there. And it just is very fluid, putting the person back in touch with nature. And that's really cool to kind of see that shine through as well.
Yeah. But yeah, so the next one is actually kind of like our low-key favorite is Dancing Among the Clouds.
Yeah. Actually, Dancing Among the Clouds was the first one that he did when I arrived. I did it in Korea as well on the next day that I arrived, because I arrived on spring, like the end of spring, and I wanted really to catch those flowers because they were in a palace and I know that people go and they touch and they may fall off. So I ran there to make that one. And it's also the same feeling with the other tree. Sometimes when I go in nature and I see some kind of flowers and plants, I'm already get a feeling like I would love that, remind me of this. So I always get those feelings when I see plants. Even now, even when I don't go into shoot, when I go out and I see plants, I want to stop and go and do something with them because it's like they talk to me. So when I saw that one, I was like, you know, when you feel light, like you can fly or you can do something like that. So that's how the blue color came in. The flowers are already white, but a little bit like yellowish. And I wanted to make it like you are in a fluffy cloud, that you are inside and you can dream and you can be whoever you want to be. And you can dance without thinking if somebody's looking at you, to just have that feeling of being in another place. So when I saw the one, I'm already knew how I wanted to do everything. So that is a great feeling when you see something, you already know what you want to do, because it takes you like 5 seconds to do. You already know the feeling that you want to portray it, and it's easier because I feel happy. So even if my face doesn't show, I'm actually laughing and I'm very happy to be there. And I feel like definitely, I'm in the clouds. I'm over the moon. I'm so happy. That's what I wanted to share with that image, with my posture. Like, definitely, like you are dancing and they just catch you there in the middle of your dance. And to just feeling yourself without thinking about nobody else or what people is going to think about me. So I was really happy to do that image. And it's a happy image that shows that feeling. That's what I want people to, when they have it in the world, they just want to feel like they want to dance all the time they come to the house and see that picture in the wall.
And I love the, you know, the expression of freedom that's there in your work, you know, like you said, just dancing and being who you are. The piece itself, it spoke to us because, you know, we were moving out of the city, out of New York City and into, you know, a rural environment in the U.S., a rural environment, particularly if you're African-American, can really be unsafe. It doesn't necessarily mean that there will be safety. And so we really wanted to have pieces in our home that just like expressed our Blackness in a very unapologetic way. And also because we're in a rural space now surrounded by trees that also reflected nature. And that piece, you know, just spoke like volumes. I think it speaks volumes in the room of that feeling that we want to convey immediately when people come into our home, of freedom, of the ability to be ourselves, that connection, you know, with nature, and just the beauty of Blackness in general, you know. And so that feeling of freedom, it resonates all throughout your work. And it was definitely the thing that connected us to your work and why we wanted to, you know, have a piece in our own space of your work.
Even with Dancing Beyond the Clouds, one of the things I found was really interesting about it is you mentioning it in relationship to Playing Among the Stars. And in both of them, there's this image of sort of like immersing yourself in nature. And
yeah,
all of your pieces, you know, include some element, some nod to nature. There's always a piece there. But in these two in particular, you're almost disappearing into it, you know.
Yeah.
Last look.
Like I'm becoming part of it.
So for you, like, where do you feel like that theme in your work comes from? Is it from something, you know, that you grew up with or something that you grew up without that kind of makes you not only feel this connection for nature, but always like long for an even greater one? You know, this possibility of actually disappearing into nature.
You just make it very deep. I thought it sounds really good. But I don't know exactly where it comes from, but I just felt drawn to it for some reason. Because when I started doing photography, because I have always lived, like, I live in a small place, but it's not nature, like, per se. We don't really have forests. We don't really have those kind of places. So we have the north part of Canary Island from Gran Canaria, the place that I live. And we have a little bit of nature. So I would go there like not very often. Sometimes with the school, we would go there and I was feeling really good and I like it, but I didn't thought it was anything important. But then I was just go home and that was it. And when I started doing photography, I was doing photography without even noticing what I was doing. So I was just taking pictures of the things that I like. And then when I actually started paying attention to my photography and I started to notice this pattern, like, oh, I always use flowers and I always use this. So I started noticing that I was using these natural elements without even paying attention to it. And then I started to be intentional about it. And I was going outside and I was feeling the nature. And I was just feeling how I see things and if they transmit anything to me, if they make me feel anything. So I just started noticing that I'm not at all like a city person. I'm like on the countryside person because it's what I feel the most inspired, the most, the happiest, and I feel the best when I am in nature. And I can see the sun, how it goes up and goes down, and the leaves dancing. I can see the flowers. I can see. And actually, I'm scared of insects. But I'm always scared when I need to get into the bush, but I forget about it when my camera is in front of me. It's like, okay, is nothing here. So I just immerse myself in it. And I feel like I'm in part of nature so much that I'm not scared of bugs anymore. I can do. But after that, when the shut is closed, then I'm, oh my God, oh my God. Let's see. But in that moment,
I'm out.
Yeah. So in that moment, just me, nature, and my camera. And that's it.
The last one is divine femininity. And yes, what was the inspiration behind that piece?
Yeah, I wanted to be a very feminine and delicate image that exudes like feminine power, because I think as women, we have some kind of sixth sense. We have this kind of mysterious power inside us. And I wanted to just convey that in one image. So I wanted to be very feminine, very calming, about thinking about water, like a river that stays there. And just that feeling of being a woman and being feminine and being powerful and being empowered. That's what I wanted to put in that image. In general, I like to work with the feminine figure. I really like my images to be very feminine, very delicate, very elegant. So that's what I was looking for. And I also knew that I wanted to be in blue because I wanted to be a calm image of the... In the opposite with the crown, that I wanted to be energetic and vibrant, and I wanted the yellow color. In this one, I wanted to be calm. I wanted to be like a subtle power, not all over your face. Powerful, I wanted to be like a subtle and elegant and intoxicating, like gets into you slowly without you even notice it. So that was like a little bit mysterious. Yeah. And I really like the moon. I think the moon is very mysterious element, and I really like to play with the moon. And I always, we think about the moon like the feminine star, like in the opposite with the sun, that we think that is masculine. For the moon, at least in Spain, it's feminine. That's why I wanted to use the moon with the changes of the water and how it can control the sea and the water and all that stuff. So I wanted to put like everything packed there in that image.
Wow. And the other thing that, I mean, I just look at, as you described earlier, the process is how you work with the natural light, you know, and it's, you know, that is not easy at all. Like, actually,
yeah, it's not.
Stating, I mean, that takes a lot of skill in terms of being able to work with the light in this way. And like you said, there is this, you know, looking at the piece, yes, there's that backdrop that's all black, but the way the light sort of moves over her and like in parts of
the face, yeah.
It just is so beautiful, and it injects this soulful, you know, feeling to the work, which I think is so important. We've been talking a lot about, you know, artificial intelligence and, you know, AI art and all these things that are sort of popping up now in our world. But I think there's nothing greater than a personal vision and then you know, looking through the camera and framing and creating that piece. And that there's a soul in the work, and how exactly important is that, you know, the work, you know, is not just, you know, what a computer can do, but that you're
exactly. Inviting
a soul and a purpose and meaning in the pieces themselves.
I think exactly the same as you. I think now we have in this world with the eye images, and people say if photography is going to die, if you are scared of AI and of the AI, we call it AI here in Spain, to the AI. And I don't think so, because, you know, I think feelings and human feelings, nobody can put soul in an image as a human being can do it. So I think, as you said, you can infuse that soul with the way you play with the light and with your subjects and your ideas, and nobody can do it. Just yourself with your hands and your imagination in your own soul, you put your feelings in it. So that's what makes an art piece meaningful. I'm not scared at all on the AI. It's good to like to explore. It's something to explore, but nothing can infuse soul in an art piece as a human being.
Yes, agree.
And so I think as we're kind of starting to wrap things up and getting to the end here, this is one last question we're going to ask. And is of the four pieces that you've created for us, do you have a favorite? Or is there one that most kind of reflects where you feel like you are at this moment?
I think I'm a little bit on all of them because, you know, I love to play among the stars. I dance among the clouds. I wear my crown with pride. And I use and I enjoy my divine femininity. So I think all of them are part of me. I think I put like a piece of me in each, in each image, I definitely put a little bit of who I am. I really wanted to create pieces that really share a little bit of who I am because I know I can be particular for some people, but definitely our feelings are universal. So the same way that I feel, another person may feel like that. So I just wanted to put like my unique point, but that unique point is also like a general one. A lot of people can definitely feel like that, like they want to dance. So I just want to invite people, if they are not doing that yet, if they are not playing among the stars or they are not dancing in the clouds, so they can start doing it now. And if they don't feel proud of who they are, so they should start being proud now and wear the head up. And if you are a woman and you don't feel like powerful enough, you have to, because we are divine, but you have to connect with that part of you, femininity, in order to be able to use it. So you need to trust and believe that you have it too. So I just wanted to put my thoughts and put who I am and share with people to invite them to also explore those parts of themselves. So I cannot really tell, like, and also they are like pretty different. I think in the color scheme and the theme, they also always want to infuse like confident, but they are very different the way that they are expressed. So I definitely cannot choose because they are all pieces of my soul and my heart in each one of them.
Well, that answer was perfect though, and fantastic. And I think that will definitely be good to wrap up the podcast. This was great. I'm so glad that we were able to catch up.
Thank you again, Farez.
Thanks to you.
Always fun talking to you. Love your work. So happy
for me too.
Share it with everybody on the platform and to be able to spotlight it in the magazine and the podcast.
And we got to get out there to Spain. It's one place we haven't been yet. So we have to try to get out there and make a visit. And because I'd love to.
Yeah, definitely.